Kaya Talk on Kaya 959. On the street, on the air.
Have you been following that court case around Rosemary Ndlovu, the woman who has been killing off family members for for policy payouts? It's in many ways a bizarre story. And the details of that story has changed over the last 2 days quite a bit. Today, her mother, Maria, was in court giving testimony, poking holes into Rosemary's own alibi before the court yesterday. It honestly is a story that will live in the psyche of South Africans for a very long time, because we're all looking at her and thinking, but wait, this woman could have been my neighbor. She looks so everyday. She looks so ordinary. She comes across very ordinary. I mean, she was a police officer. She was a wife. She was a mother. And she killed her own children. And that's what's so gruesome about the story for me. And we might be living with those sort of people in our communities right now. But before we jump into the substance of what I want us to discuss around the psychology of serial killers, and perhaps just the psychology of killers altogether, let's get clued up on the facts of the story as they stand. Kaya reporter Katlego Sehoto joins us right now to have that conversation. Katlego, you've been following the story across yesterday and today. I was glued to the television yesterday when Rosemary was giving her court testimony there yesterday. But what do we know about this case thus far?
Hi, yes, Oliver. So, I mean, yes, today court proceedings were adjourned because our accused, Rosemary Ndlovu, was not feeling well. She complained about chest pains. And so we will hear the testimony to carry on tomorrow. But basically today we heard the defense was presenting her mother, so Rosemary's mother, Maria, and she was testifying in defense of her daughter. Although, you know, along with the story, and as you rightfully say, it's such a bizarre story. Maria was actually one of the people on the hit list of her daughter. Jeez. So, there was an attempt to kill her by the daughter, and she had allegedly paid or was promising to pay the hitman over 2,600 rand. But that it was a botched hit. It didn't work out. But mind you, so besides that, so Maria did take the stand today, and basically she was outlining her recollection of when Audrey died. So Audrey is the sister to the accused, Audrey Ndlovu, as well as Brilliant. Brilliant is the grandson to Maria, and she is Audrey's son. And so we basically heard how the mom said she couldn't recollect when Audrey passed away, and there was a phone call she got informing her of Audrey's passing. She couldn't recall who exactly told her, and the state also heard evidence from a neighbor of Audrey, so this was before today, that even before they had tried to enter the home of Audrey where she had passed away, Nomia, who is the accused, had made a call to her mom, Maria, telling her that Audrey had died. So this is the stuff we were hearing today. The mom also testified on the relationship the family had with Gladys Ndlovu. So Gladys is the accused's niece, and she's one of the people whom Rosemary stands accused of plotting to murder her back in 2017.
Wow.
She had allegedly taken two hitmen to her house and asked them to carry out the hit, gave them 800 rand for petrol.
Jeez.
With the promise that they would get 15,000 rand once the job was done. That hit, however, didn't work out. They did take the 800 rand, but they didn't carry out the hit. Gladys only became aware of the attempt hit on her when police approached her after the accused arrest. So they informed her of the hitman's allegations.
Wow.
So since then, she's been very scared. She actually has packed up and moved. I don't think she'll be testifying. She's refused to participate in the trial. So basically, we heard from the mom just her reaction to some of the deaths and how, you know, she's basically painted a picture that she knew very little, and in no way is she connecting her daughter the accused to any of those killings.
You know, part of what I heard as far as evidence is concerned is that Rosemary would go as far as instructing the hitmen how to execute the hit and telling them, well, you're going to pour some petrol around the house, set the house on fire to make sure that they all burn out. Because as a cop, I know that arson cases never really go anywhere.
Yes, yes. That is that first video that we saw on Times Live. Well, I saw it on Times Live, really showing the accused explaining to the hitmen how they should avoid stabbing and they should avoid guns, because then if those things are involved, there's likely to be an investigation. But if you burn the house down and you burn the people, then it's very hard to pinpoint who might have, it might have been a candle that fell over and burnt the house. It might have been an angry ex-boyfriend. It would have been difficult, according to her, to figure out who would have been behind the killings. I wanted to add, because I know you know, this conversation is going to turn to the psychology behind murderers per se, and you know, the question around Rosemary's mental health has been top of conversation even amongst us as journalists. And I think, you know, it's like this case is twofold, in that you have this character who is Rosemary Ndlovu, which is intriguing and disturbing at the same time, and you have the details of the case, which are complex and sometimes confusing because there's so many players. And I was just, you know, thinking just as a journalist today, how we almost have to balance these two narratives, the story of what happened and her behavior, because she is, you know, because I was sitting up close to her today so that I could record the audio as close as possible. And, you know, you do question some of the things she does. I mean, she hits journalists out of the way when she's being escorted by police. Another thing that happened today was that she was escorted out of the court using the elevator and the main public door because, as her claims that she was too ill, she couldn't use, you know, she couldn't, they couldn't take her through the back doors. So the officers that were escorting her informed the investigating officer that the cops surround her to ensure that she doesn't try to jump over the rails or try to run away. The police van had to be brought close as possible to the court. So I'm just painting a picture for you in terms of just her behavior. And yes, she was ill today, but you know, she did walk through the front door when she was leaving today.
I'm sorry, and this is a very sensationalist question, but I do want to ask, did she look ill?
Yeah. She kept grabbing at her stomach, and she kept twisting in very uncomfortable positions, sort of showing the judge or the court that she is unwell. So, I mean, that's as far as I can describe, but and her face as well, she looked like she was in pain. Mm. But it's very hard to tell if it was an act or if it was real.
Yeah. You know what fascinates me about this case is that one of the whistleblowers that came forward was one of the hitmen that she had paid to execute one of the hits, who had, for some reason, a moral awakening and went to the police. Tell us about the details around that.
Yeah, so there were two hitmen who she tried to... Those were the two hitmen she actually traveled to Bushbuck Ridge. And this was when she was attempting to kill her sister, Joyce. I make a mistake, Gladys. So the two men, that is Kunene and Lakhiwe Mkhize, they were crucial to the state's case because they're the ones who played along with her as if they're going to commit the crime. Mm. But then they didn't, and that's when the arrest was made, and this was in 2017-2018. The two hitmen and the accused were heading to Gladys to try and wipe out her and her children, from what I understand. because the accused also has this thing of not just killing one person, but anyone who might be a witness.
Oh, my goodness.
So the hitmen were there. They detail in detail what... So if you look at the video online, you know, you'll see the conversations between the accused and the hitmen. But they did fail to execute those killings.
Oh, this is one of those stories that we'll have another sort of Showmax Netflix documentary on, that will live on forever. Katlego, thank you so much for your time. Really do appreciate it.
Kaya Talk on Kaya 959.
On the street, on the air.